أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with countless bounties. So many favors and bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, that it is not possible for any person to count even a single bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the person with. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Qur'an al-Kareem, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that if you have to count a single bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to encompass it. It is not within your ability and capability to encompass even a single bounty with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. And this is a topic in itself, but just to touch on it, take the bounty of this tongue which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now we have the bounty of the eyes, the ears, the ability to sense, the ability to smell, the ability to touch, the brain which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, the different organs in the body which all work in such amazing and miraculous coordination. But let's just take this tongue for example. That look at the amount of bounties which are just attached to the tongue. Today after the Jummah Salah, a person will go home and enjoy his meals. Now that ability to chew, the tongue assists an individual in the process of digestion. The tongue also makes the food palatable and enjoyable. A person derives pleasure from that food. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he could have removed the ability of taste from the tongue. And the person would still be able to consume the food. But can we imagine that food would have no taste? Did we, for a second, and I address myself first, did we ever take our time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you granted me the ability to taste the food and enjoy pleasure from the food? That is why when a person consumes his food, then the masnoon dua, and these duas are, if a person holds on to the duas which are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we term as the masnoon duas, then this person can be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours of the day. And a person can be constantly in the shukr and in the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, he may be counted amongst those people who Allah ta'ala refers to as qaleel. In one place of the Qur'an Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, there are very few of my servants who are grateful for the bounties which I bestow upon them. Qaleel. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those qaleel who appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look, when a person wakes up in the morning, the masnoon dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi, so that Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Ya Allah, you gave me the ability of sleeping. I recall in our madrasa days, we had one student who suffered from insomnia. He suffered from insomnia, and because of which it was very difficult for him to sleep, and if there was a little noise, his entire sleep would be disturbed. So the madrasa, the administration of the madrasa gave a concession for him, and they allowed him to sleep at a different time when the students were not in the boarding. But despite that, he would always be in a very, very difficult condition, always looking very, very sick and very, very perturbed and very, very confused. Eventually, this student reached the point of, we say that most probably he may have lost his sanity, and he committed suicide. So look at just this ability of being able to sleep is such a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why after a person sleeps, he says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to you, Ya Allah, that you granted me the ability of sleep. When a person, every morning when the day, you know, commences, the masnoon dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi aqalana yawmana hadha walam yuhlikna bidhunubina. The gist of that dua is that, Ya Allah, I am so sinful. I have been such a disobedient servant to you that I was deserving of being destroyed by your punishment because of my sins. But Ya Allah, you were so kind that you gave me another day to change my life. You gave me another opportunity. You gave me a second chance. This is the masnoon dua, the gist of that dua. A person eats his food. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana. And the dua goes on. Again, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that food and all the bounties which are attached to that food. A person goes to toilet and relieves himself when he emerges from the toilet. Alhamdulillah, ghufranak, alhamdulillah alladhi. Again, praising Allah ta'ala for this ability to relieve oneself. Ask those people who are on the dialysis machine and who are experiencing difficulty in relieving themselves. Ask them what kind of taklif and pain they go through. This is a bounty in itself. And that is why in every single rakat of every single salah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And in fact, the Quran Kareem even commences with Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly appreciating the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why our late Hazrat Ma Yunus Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah ta'ala fill his grave with noor, he mentioned once, he said, sometimes a person is sleeping at night and his eyes open. Inadvertently, the eyes open sometimes at night, late portion of the night, for those few moments. So even if a person does not wake up to perform some tahajjud salah, but at least if the person just takes a few moments, and how easy is it? Takes a few moments to look around him and contemplate. A person may have his wife sleeping on his side. And once again, each and every individual who is married should consider his wife as his Layla. And how will this be achieved? How will this be achieved? If we learn to control our gaze and safeguard our eyes from those women who we are not allowed to see. Allah Ta'ala has made so many things halal for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakeem. Allah Ta'ala is wise. Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing. Allah Ta'ala knows insan better than himself. Allah Ta'ala knows his creation better than the creation itself. It is obvious. It is logical. So that Allah who has made certain things haram, Hazrat Ma'a rahmatullah used to say, that in haram, if you look at the spelling, there is harm. There is harm, double harm. Every single thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram for us, Allah ta'ala, in effect, it is His mercy, He is protecting us from something which would harm us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these women forbidden for us to cast an evil glance. We should immediately lower our gazes and control our hearts. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And then Allah Ta'ala gives a separate command to the females as well, that they too should control, safeguard their eyes. And by doing this, a person gets great rewards. A person tastes the sweetness of Iman. Allah Ta'ala says, I will even reward you for this. Not only are you saving yourself from harm, but I will even give you a prize for this. I will give you a reward for lowering your gaze. And what is that reward? I will bless you with the sweetness, a taste of the sweetness of Iman. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali mentions that person who Allah Ta'ala blesses with a taste of the sweetness of Iman, that Allah Ta'ala is that being that when He grants certain bounties, Allah Ta'ala does not snatch it away. So there is great hope that person who is blessed with this sweetness of Iman, this Iman will never be snatched away from him. So inshallah, this is a secret prescription for death with Iman. Something which each and every individual should be concerned about. No person can be complacent, no matter what great position he may have reached in terms of spirituality or in terms of his khidmat of deen. One fear which each and every wali has and every pious person has is that, Ya Allah, no matter what people may say about me, but if I leave this world without Iman, that I am even worse than what they are calling me. Many of the Ahlullah, people abuse them, People mocked them. People used all types of names and falsely accused them. Allegations were laid against them. But this did not affect them because they always had one fear. And what was that fear? That whether or not we will leave this world with Iman or we will leave this world as a disbeliever. That incident flashes to the mind which we had mentioned before, that a certain person was making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and he was only making one dua for that entire tawaf. Person was passing by and he only heard him making one dua, and that dua is that, Ya Allah, let it be that when I leave this world, I leave with Iman. That is all I'm asking. I must leave this world with Iman. After he had completed, this person approached him and said, brother, this is only one dua you are making. Why are you making the dua, and why are you making it in such a passionate manner? He said that I had two brothers. My one brother was the muaddin of a masjid. He delivered the adhan in that masjid for 25 to 30 years. But when he came to the last stages of his life, he called me in the room and he said, bring the Quran. So I brought the Quran Sharif, very, very excited. I thought that, alhamdulillah, perhaps he will wants to recite from the Quran Sharif, or he wants to touch the Quran Sharif. He called for the Quran Sharif, and then he placed his hand on the Quran Sharif and he said that, I make you my witness that I am totally free of this Quran. I want to have nothing to do with it. And he passed away in this condition. He said, my second brother also similarly took over the position of delivering the adhan, and for years he gave the adhan in this condition. Diligently delivering the adhan, but similarly towards the last stages of his life, he did the same thing and he passed away without Iman. So he said, therefore, I am so fearful, I am so concerned, that forget all the good deeds that a person may have done. This is one fear I have. So the person asked him, but is there something that your brothers were doing? Is there some action that you remember, because of which perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have deprived them or snatched this bounty of Iman from their hearts? He said, yes, there was one thing I recall. In those days, the muadhineen had to climb the mimbers of the masajid, and they had to deliver the adhan from on top. So they both had the bad habit or the sickness of looking into the courtyards of people, and they would admire the women folk of the various homes. He says, this could be the reason. Remember, the Hadith Sharif says that another sahmum min sihami iblis masmum. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la'anallahu nadhir wal manzoor ilayh. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto mankind, such shafqat, such mercy he had for his ummah, how much he cried for his ummah, how many tears he shed for his ummah, what kind of suffering he went through for his ummah, that even on the day of Hashr, he will refuse entry into Jannah. He will say, Ya Allah, until the last of my ummatis has not entered Jannah, I will not enter Jannah. That is the kind of love, that is the kind of mercy he has for his ummah. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith, he says, may Allah curse. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Can we imagine? He says, may Allah curse that person, that individual who cast an evil glance, and that individual, whether it's a male or a female, who beautifies themselves to such an extent that people start admiring and looking at them. Women folk today are dressing in such a manner that they are inviting the men folk to admire them, to look at them. And similarly, the males too, especially in the offices. A person will talk in a certain manner, he will interact in a certain manner, show his strength, show how masculine he is, show how powerful he is, so that he can attract the attention of the opposite gender. Remember, you too now, by doing this, we too are now falling under the curse of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a person who falls under the curse of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what is the definition of la'na? Al-bu'd anir-rahma. La'na means that a person is far from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That rahmat of Allah ta'ala, when it shades a person, then a person will be in gardens in this world too. That Allah who has given sweetness to the sugar cane, and that Allah who has put enjoyment in and put beautiful fragrances in the different flowers, then that Allah, He will put that kind of sweetness and that kind of enjoyment in the hearts of that person upon whom His rahmat is focused. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those upon whom Allah ta'ala's rahmat is focused. That is why in the Quran Kareem, Nabi Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was praised for his chastity, for his taqwa, that he had protected himself from Zulaykha, despite her beauty, despite him being in solitude with her. Look at his taqwa, look at his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he do? He immediately, ma'ad Allah, he sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he immediately ran for the doors. He moved away from there. He didn't remain in that environment. Remember, our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say so many times, that temptation will lead you into trouble and make you cry. So a person, if he's in an environment of temptation, he needs to move out from there. Stay away from there. If something is tempting him, he needs to separate himself from that. So Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam, Nabi of Allah, despite being protected by Allah, but he too ran from there, moved from there. Now after the whole incident, when people began praising him, he said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. That no person is safe and sound, the gist of that ayah of the Quran Kareem. No person is safe and sound. No person can consider himself protected from sins except that person upon whom the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, if it is not for the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is not for the rahmat of Allah ta'ala, none of you will be able to purify his hearts. So one dua we should constantly make is that, Ya Allah, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni. O Allah, have caused your rahmat to be focused upon me. So coming back to what we were saying, that this is something which we should avoid, casting evil glances. And instead, so many things are halal for us and permissible for us to look at. We can look at the beautiful environment around us in terms of nature, in terms of the clouds, the skies. Allah Ta'ala says, look at the creation around you. Do you not see the oceans? Do you not see the earth? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلْ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do you not look at the camel, the manner in which Allah has created it? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And the mountain, the manner in which Allah Ta'ala has caused it to stand so mighty. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِئَتْ. At the earth. So Allah Ta'ala is so many. Then if a person wants to look, Hadith Sharif says that that person, that individual, who looks at his parents, he looks at his parents with love, then he gets the reward of an accepted Hajj. That person who looks at his parents with love, he gets the reward of an accepted Hajj. Now look at this. Today, especially when our parents become old, then we look at them with frustration. We give them an annoying look. We give them a look of irritation. We become frustrated with them. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that that is the time to show them the most mercy, when they are in their old age. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Lower that wing of rahmat for your parents. And then not only that, make dua for them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ. Ya Allah, you have rahmat upon them, you have mercy upon them, just as they were kind and merciful to me when I was a little child. I was helpless. When I was helpless, they were there to help me. Now when they are helpless, I become irritated. So a person who looks at his parents with mercy, with love, then that person gets the reward of an accepted Hajj. Today we will find people, they will make khidmah for many, many people. A person will make khidmah for his sheikh, which is something very good. A person will make khidmah for his ustad. A person will make khidmah for a pious person. But let us ask ourselves, have we ever straightened the shoes of our father? Have we ever made khidmat for our parents? Did we ever open the door for our fathers to enter the car? Yet, the right of the father, the right of the mother, their right comes immediately after the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of each and every individual, to fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the right of our parents, to fulfill the right of our wives and children. For indeed on the day of Qiyamah, these will be questionable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive his rights. Huququllah, if a person didn't fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in the manner that it should have been fulfilled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, Allah ta'ala may overlook it. But remember, if we have trampled upon the rights of others, if we have usurped the rights of our parents, if we have been nasty to our parents, if we have violated the rights of our brothers and sisters in terms of inheritance and whatever other matters it may have been, then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. Rather, on the day of Qiyamah, that person would be given the choice that would you forgive your brother or not. Remember, on the day of Qiyamah, each person will be so concerned about his own self that no person will be bothered about the next. It'll be every person will be worried about his self and none but himself. Even the Anbiya, they will be making the claim and making the statement of Nafsi, Nafsi, I am only worried about myself now. At that time, a person will fight to get as many good deeds from the opponent as he can. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Who is a real poor person? It is that person, or bankrupt person. Who is the real bankrupt person? Sahaba Ikram said, that person who doesn't have any wealth, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. It is that person who has done a lot of good deeds. But in this world, he has been nasty to this person. He has sworn this person. He has usurped the rights of that person. He has been harsh. He has used his tongue. Remember this tongue, our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, it can be a tool of good construction or a weapon of mass destruction. A person can slice the heart of somebody with this tongue. So on the day of Qiyamah, people will come to this person and they will take his good deeds. That you swore me, now I will take as many good deeds. And he will be allowed to take as much good deeds as will please him. To such an extent that it mentioned in Riwayah, this person will have no good deeds left. And then more people will still be coming. So now the order will be given that now you may offload your bad deeds into his account. So this person will have absolutely no good deeds and he will have a huge mountain and pile of evil deeds. Or his account of evil will be very, very high. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us amongst those people. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of fulfilling the rights of all. And inshallah, may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making khidmat of deen and using our lives to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this light, inshallah, on Sunday there will be a mashwara taking place at Masjid al-Hilal at around 9:30. Brothers are encouraged to participate and use the energies which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and the wealth to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.